hit that baby.
Yeah, right. But no, you're absolutely right.
Here, this kind of feels maybe lazy a little bit.
Welcome to Set Cheddar Park. Some movie screenings.
Why not, you know?
Yeah, at that point, why not?
It's got to be Saturday somewhere. It does sound familiar.
It's hilarious. Hello! I think we did like 5 shows on this movie.
My name is Tom Cone.
Oh, you bite your tongue if this does not hold up.
Cream corn tonight.
Cream corn tonight.
That should be good corn time. It's a movie. Just wait for the big giveaway at 9.
Happy Saturday, Robert.
Happy Saturday to you.
You're listening to the podcast on Set Cheddar Saturdays. As always, with Robert Patterson. Check out his website at setjetter.com and follow him on Instagram at set_jetter. Tonight's episode is, it's called The Sundance Kid, but we're not covering old movies. We're going to get a special recap in a little bit of Robert's Sundance experience this year. So how you doing, sir? It's been a while.
Doing okay. I'm actually wearing my Sundance 1998 sweatshirt.
Oh, there it is.
25 years ago.
Oh, my
gosh.
It was my
first time at Sundance, which is crazy.
Oh, I feel so old.
I was just a kid.
1998, we were. I was 5, you were 8, so.
That's crazy. Exactly right, yeah.
I like the sweatshirt, though. I like how it's in good condition.
It is. Isn't everything in good? No. And it still fits, even though I think it was, I probably swam in it 25 years ago, and now it just barely fits.
I swam in it. We got a good show tonight. So we're going to kick it off with what you've been watching. And unless you wanted to start with something different, I figure it's a good way to rope the listeners in with our picks. I'm just going to, I haven't been watching anything. I've been watching that much, but I have been watching The Last of Us on HBO. Have you watched that?
I watched half of the first episode, and then I was going to go revisit it, and then Sundance happened, and so I haven't. And obviously, that's all people have been talking about, so I've been avoiding that. And I don't think I played the video game, but I think people have kind of moved beyond comparing to it. But obviously, I heard many good things. And you?
Yeah, well, you've played The Thing, the video game, which I think is more exciting than The Last of Us.
PS2.
Last of Us is, I'm not going to give anything away since you haven't watched it, but I think it's the best post-apocalyptic show I've seen since, I can't think of a miniseries, I should say, in a while. They take some cues from some of the other ones, but it has its own heart to it, and there's the second episode, could have been, I wish it were like a movie on its own. It was, with the guy that plays Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec is in it. He's just such a good episode. I wanted more. But overall, yeah, I think it's really good. Pacing's really good. So it's fun.
I'm just afraid they're going to go to a prison in season 3. And
the governor is going to come
out. Or be stuck in a farmhouse for season 2.
It does whittle into areas where you're like, okay, the apocalypse happened. There's like, you know, as they do in all these shows, the subgroups of people containing control and running their own show. So it kind of dives into that, and you get a little worried, like, oh, don't make this like another Negan or something. Yeah. But
just a little worried. But anyway, I'll give it a watch sometime.
But yeah, I'm surprised it's already 4 or 5 episodes in. That caught me by surprise. But and then I've been revisiting The Mandalorian and Boardwalk Empire. So it's been an HBO week for Matthew.
When does the new Mandalorian begin? I can't remember.
Comes out, I believe, next month. Okay. So I'm doing like just a little refresh on that. It feels like that's been off the air for a while.
It has. They gave us Book of Boba Fett in the middle of it, which veered off obviously into Mandalorian. The best part of Book of Boba Fett was sadly
the Mandalorian
part of it, but. Yeah. So, and I'm getting excited. I think this month, you season 3?
Really?
Is that right? Or 4? Is that right? I think it's season 4 begins. So, and they're kind of doing like movies for first half of the season in February and second half in another time. So, they're milking it.
They do milk it. It is funny when they milk it and it's like, just wait. I heard somebody the other day, I don't know if it was like a neighbor or my wife or somebody, but they were like, I heard them say, why do they always leave you hanging at the last minute? I'm like, that's the point. So you watch like more of it. But like on a broader scope, they do that with like entire series now. It's like, okay, I guess we'll wait to watch the previously filmed for 2 years second part in 3 months.
Which is that's
just fine.
Sushi sent a good TV, and I mean that's just been. I mean, Melrose Place would always end, you know, on that 24 Alias. You know, they'd always be like, oh, I can't. I got to watch the next one now.
I have to do it.
Yeah.
Walking Dead did that too, and then the cliffhangers got so bad. It was like, we're going to just put him on a train and like, we'll write something in the summer, but like, just throw him in the train and like, leave it at that. And you're like, oh, the writing was so bad towards the end.
Nobody cared.
But I was going to say, The Mandalorian, March 1st, The Mandalorian returns.
Oh, okay. I should do a refresh as well. We'll do a little refresh. Yeah.
But what about you? What have you been watching?
A lot. Well, non-Sundance. I finally watched Christmas Story Christmas.
Yeah. What did you think about it?
I thought it was fine. You know, I enjoyed it. And then the location part of me is like, everything looks, something's not quite right about this block, you know. And I watched the movie, and then afterwards, because I'm like, did they go and they filmed there? But they actually rebuilt the whole street in Bulgaria. Which is crazy, because I knew the block, it kind of had an L street in the movie, and I know, like I said, something like, that's not the reality and so forth, but it was fine. As I was saying, I don't know if I'd ever revisit it, you know, like you would the original Christmas Story. It was good for what it was. So
it was fun.
And we've sadly lost Melinda Dillon, the original mother, just in the past week.
Right. 83, I think she was.
Yes. And I know she had retired for a while, but I would have liked to have seen her maybe kind of one last drop. Nothing against. Now I lost her name. Julie Hagrid.
Right, I know you're talking about. No, nothing against her. Yeah. She did a good job. She was, I think, slightly younger to be his mother in that. Maybe.
Yeah. Do we need another airplane, I think, now? Oh. Since we're rebooting stuff, let's just do it.
Right. Since we're doing that.
And we just call it Airplane.
Right, yeah. I thought the one-liners were funny in Christmas Story Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, with like, I come here to get away from my family. They just crowbarred in like one-liners. You're like, it doesn't carry the movie, but I felt like they played on it too much with some of the characters. Like, what's his name? Sid Farkas? No.
Yeah.
Scud Farkas. He was fine. Yeah. He was a bully, but he really only has like 2 minutes of screen time in the original.
Yeah.
And they did this kind of long, drawn-out scene. And you're like, I don't know if the guy would be that. I don't know. It was nice. It was a nice way they handled it, but. You know,
it was. I forgot,
I got a new shirt. I wanted to show you. Anytime I get a movie shirt, I got to show Robert. Can you see this?
Let's see. Negative. Oh my gosh, the Top Gun. I'll call it the Top Gun.
A good friend of mine gave it to me, and I always, anytime there's a movie thing, I think of you because you are the king of movie shirts. Anyway, sorry to digress.
Why would you wear a shirt that's not a
why
a movie shirt?
Why would you do that?
Why father? Well, why would be the point?
Robert, that's witchcraft talking.
Oh, that's crazy. So, also watched Violent Night, which.
Oh yeah, yeah. We were talking about that. How was it?
I did not care for it. So
no,
it probably went on a little bit too long, and I was like,
really?
It was
It wasn't Krampus bad though.
No, I wasn't throwing stuff at the screen.
You weren't hurling. $20 popcorns and sodas at the screen.
But yeah, part of me is like, yeah, it was, yeah, I don't know. I don't know quite what it's expecting. And
yeah.
Or maybe you got kind of what you expected. I was like, I either wanted to go a little bit overboard, you know, really do it or scale it back. But neither
I
one.
I thought the trailer kind of explained what I thought the movie would be. I mean, does it? Or
pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, is it going to be, is it kind of a diehard Christmas, truly? And maybe because John Leguizamo, didn't he play one of the baddies and one of the henchmen, I think, in one of the diehards, if I remember right? Maybe not.
John Leguizamo?
Yeah.
My memory's a little hazy with that.
I don't know. But anyway, same thing. It wasn't, and obviously they're making Violent Night too, but.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Of course.
Of course. It's no Silent Night, Deadly Night franchise. Yeah. Let's not try to copy that. Yeah.
Why? Why would we even?
No, can't touch it.
They should do, you know, Violent Night 2, Garbage Day. Why not? Just
Garbage Day.
Hereditary, I did a rewatch during a hotel visit because I thought, oh, okay. I'm trapped in this hotel. Not trapped, but nothing better to do. Okay. I'll give this a good pay attention. So, but I don't think I had seen it since the theater. So I never. I thought it was a good movie, but I didn't. It's not one of those like, oh, I want to rewatch that. You know, it's not a good time.
Yeah. Right. Right. Right.
To watch. So.
But
because of it, some of it was new to me a little bit. So I thought it continues to hold up pretty well. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Life at the Party. I probably have to explain what movie this before. Is. Something about her, it always just makes me laugh. And so.
Life at the Party.
I happened to catch it. And I stayed at that sorority house down in Covington, Georgia, which has been used in The Vampire Diaries or something like that. I don't know. But it was also in The Vacation reboot and Halloween. Rob Zombie's Halloween.
You spent the night there.
I spent the night in Margot Kidder's office from Halloween 2, Rob Zombie's Halloween 2.
Now that's something wonderful. That really is.
Yeah.
No, it Margot is. That's Kidder
was
cool.
Right there. Yeah. So why would you stay in a place that wasn't in a movie? I don't know.
This is ridiculous. That's crazy talk.
The morning after, I seem to always watch around Christmas time. Jane Fonda was actually nominated for an Oscar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Along with Sigourney Weaver that year and somebody else. It was a strange Oscars year. You made a movie? Welcome. Automatic Oscar? Not. Nothing right. against those two, but.
No, of course not.
It's a total LA movie that I just kind of like watching. I always want the movie to be better than it is, and it never quite is. So.
Yeah, right.
You got it. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Also watched The Accidental Tourist, which I think maybe Gina Davis did win an Oscar for this movie. So
I love Gina Davis. Yeah. I wish she was still like making movies at that level. Still.
Yes, she was. This movie, it's a little bit difficult because these characters are kind of hard to like. And I think that's what two thirds of the movie is really great. And then it kind of devolves a little bit and like, you know, like I don't want anybody to end up with each other.
Right. I want them isolated.
Yeah. Like you all just need to find other people and move on with your life. But
right.
And Amy Wright is in that. She plays his sister. And it wasn't literally because she also played the babysitter in the Amityville Horror. So somehow she was a teenager in that one. And literally less than 10 years later, she's like a 50-year-old. I was like, how does this happen?
I didn't put that together.
It is kind of, yeah.
It really is like 10 years.
And maybe she wasn't a teenager, but you know, but that's quite a span.
I think she was, you know, or was supposed to be. Yeah.
Or supposed to, maybe not 50, but maybe, but obviously, yeah, she wasn't like a 30-year-old by any
means. Well, the closet scene aged her so badly.
Maybe that's it. I just remember the closet. I remember, it wasn't explicit, but you know, when she's hammering on the door and eventually she gets blood on the door because her knuckles are bleeding. And I remember that freaked me out.
Oh, so. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's jarring.
But anyway, Kunk on the World is a new short series.
Kunk on the World.
Yes.
What is this?
So it's a mockumentary. and it's one of those. There are
Kunk
times
on Earth?
Is it Kunk on Earth? Maybe it is.
Oh, maybe. Okay.
Maybe I got the title wrong, but Kunk on something. But yeah, so do you remember the past previous 2 years, Netflix that had, you know, the end of 2022 and the end of 2021, you know, where, so it's kind of that style. And the one lady kind of does everything. And she goes, here, I mean, just, I don't know. I'm laughing the whole time. My sister thought it was like, it was fine. You know, like.
Right.
You're
dying. It was
like
great
rewinding stuff, and so maybe it just caught me in the right.
Oh, that's so funny.
So,
it's on. This is Netflix.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
So, see if you don't like it past the first episode, don't continue. But I think that's kind of my type of humor.
Oh yeah, I love your kind of humor. The Big Boss.
I can't wait for that to come on a Blu-ray.
Classic.
I'll never be able to give up my DVD though, because Sally Kellerman signed it. So.
Oh, rest her soul. Yeah, you have. That's a keeper.
Yeah, that was a keeper. So. Oh, yeah. And then I watched Scream 3 by chance the night before the 23rd anniversary. So.
Yes.
For some reason, it was on. I thought, oh, and same thing. I always felt like, wait a second. I think it can't be as, it's not a bad movie, but it really gets into Scooby-Doo territory, and characters are kind of sidelined.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah.
What was the tagline? It was like, you posted it this week.
I think I did. I think
it was like, somebody loves the trilogy way too much or something.
Yeah. I think
it was like the real tagline though.
Yeah, I think it was. So there's good moments, and obviously Parker Posey is one of those, but I was just like, certainly better than Scream 5.
Yeah,
but something else.
It's good that you rewatched it though. You gave it, you know.
Yeah,
23rd anniversary.
I need to do a proper. I did a couple screenshots when I stayed at the Paramore Estate, but I haven't done a full fledged kind of redo of the page for all the rooms that they used and so forth. So I should have done that, but
yeah,
maybe for the 25th.
Yes. Throw it in there.
Another couple years. So,
I forgot. I knew there was something else I watched, since we're Sigourney Weaver fans. Mm. I watched Gorillas in the Mist.
Meatitis. Let's go.
All I could think about was Amy from Congo. I wanted to text you, and it was just like, Amy, like, you know, because they're completely two different movies. Gorillas in the Mist is actually like a decent film.
How
Congo
dare
is just...
you even bring up Congo and Gorillas in the Mist
in the
same breath.
But all I could think about was Amy from Congo. And I'm like, this is all I want to see now is like
Amy,
one of these girls.
Ugly
like,
woman.
Amy, ugly. We're big Sigourney fans, so I saw it was streaming, and I was like, I think I've only seen that movie once, and I was like a kid, so I watched it again. But not that it makes you want to watch Congo,
yeah.
But
obviously it did something.
It did something. It's a good movie. It just there's stuff that definitely wouldn't be made today.
I need to give it a rewatch for sure. So Meatitis, Let's Go is still a line my sister and I still use.
Meatitis.
Yeah, Meatitis, Let's Go. So she won Oscar, I think, for that. She was nominated, I think that year she was nominated for Best Actress and Best Supporting Actress for Working Girl. So how could she not win something?
Of course. You got to love her.
She deserves it.
That was 1984, right?
88, I think.
Yeah, I guess it would be 88.
Yeah.
So it was post-Aliens.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. All right, but let's get into what the world is waiting for, and that's you. Just last weekend, you attended Sundance.
Yeah, virtual Sundance again.
Virtual Sundance. Which is exciting.
19 films this time. I think we did more last year, so we were doing up to 4 a day. I think four or five to try to kind of cram them all in. So
that's good. That's healthy.
Yeah, so a lot of them began to kind of blur together. So I was going to do my kind of quick recap. So there was no – previous years had really like best film of the year or whatever. I didn't really have any of – nothing kind of rose to that for me this year. But there were some good ones and some stinkers. So my first one – I think it was the first one we saw – or second one we saw was Bad Behavior. Bad Behavior, I guess, in the European spelling. Jennifer Connelly is literally at her best here. So
really?
Yeah.
Jennifer Connelly.
Even better than Top Gun Maverick.
You just bite your tongue. Say it ain't so. But she was pretty good, huh?
Yeah, she was good. She plays the former child actress, even though that has become a thing, that she's kind of trying to go to an enlightenment therapy and kind of a not mindfulness camp, but kind of a spiritual getaway and so forth. And then she's trying to also deal with her daughter, who's a stunt woman. The actress who plays her daughter is also the director and writer. So so it was, I don't know.
It's called Bad Behavior?
Bad Behavior.
Okay.
You hear me overpronouncing the Vior.
Well, we have to now.
Yeah. So just so you know. So
right. Very sophisticated.
Yeah. So Jennifer Connelly just, I thought she just really kind of rocked it on that one. So keep a lookout for that. Magazine Dreams. So Jonathan Majors, I know he's done a lot of different things. I'm not as, my sister is more familiar with him. So it seemed like a true story, but I don't think it was. But he played an amateur bodybuilder that was really trying to find success and just really, but he also has a penchant for violence.
Ooh.
And he kind of just keeps messing things up and so forth. And it's one of those,
starts letting loose.
He does, but it's not, it's one of the, I liked it because I didn't know where it was going the whole time. And literally, Jonathan Majors was so good that it felt documentary-ish to me. Like when actor just like literally loses himself. And obviously he did, I don't know if he did bodybuilding before, but he obviously did this to his body to become a bodybuilder. So he put 110% into it.
Oh,
so okay. Take that, Christian Bale.
Yeah, take that, machinist.
Scrapper. So this is a
Scrapper.
A London film. A 12-year-old girl that she had recently lost her mother, and she's been pretending that her uncle is living with her, and she's kind of on her own. And so it's one of those movies that had me within the first 60 seconds. So Scrapper.
It gets you.
Well,
it gets
yeah.
The heartstrings.
I never quite knew where it was going, but obviously Scrapper, because I quickly kind of understand that like she's like stealing bikes and selling the first scrap and stuff like that to get by. But she's as a 12-year-old, she's well beyond her years and so forth. And her dad eventually comes back and so forth. But so I enjoyed that one. So
Scrapper. Keep an eye out for that.
Yeah. Keep a lookout. I feel like nowadays these things will show up on some, like all these will probably show up on Netflix or HBO Max. And the bottom of my list will be on Tubi next week. So
Tubi after the 8th Bruce Willis movie of the year.
Yeah.
That's funny.
A lot of documentaries. So Beyond Utopia was one of those. And it was really following pretty much one family in particular trying to get out of North Korea.
Oh, okay.
So they have
getting out of the regime.
It is just harrowing, and it makes you, nothing gets the narrative films, but when you're seeing real life like this, you can't get more dramatic than that. So
really,
yeah. So it's really well done. It was obviously a lot of cell phone footage, and there was kind of one guy that trying to, you know, it was like literally they have people pausing, you know, in the woods and before they kind of move forward and so forth. And
this is Beyond Utopia.
Beyond Utopia, yeah. So
wow. Interesting. That's my kind of flick.
Yeah. So
thought provoking of a political sense.
Yeah. And it's always weird because then, you know, you finish and you're like, that's awful. And you're like, should we have Olive Garden for dinner? You know.
Yeah, right. What do you do after that?
I know. You just move on with your life. So
yeah, I know.
Another documentary, Fantastic Machine, which is really just kind of, we've seen this type of film movies before, but you know, there's so many photo, you know, 100 billion photographs in the world, and X are taken, you know, each time and stuff like that. So it kind of goes from the beginning to kind of where we're at now. So nothing groundbreaking, yeah. But I thought they did a good job. So okay. That's what I consider my must see list.
Sounds like some good ones in there.
Yeah, some good ones. So keep a lookout. Theater Camp, which was the opener this year, kind of wants to be a Christopher Guest movie, but doesn't quite get there. I still watch it despite the fact that Ben Platt is in it, but I should say I've been forgiven because I never actually watched Dear Evan Hansen, so I can't.
Oh, right.
Much, so, but it's pretty good. Obviously, it is what it sounds like, where
it's worth a watch.
It's theater kids and stuff like that. So
yeah.
And for all these, they had like after the movie, you could tune into the Q&A, and all the kids were there and they kind of sang another song. And so they were like, obviously they picked the best of the best of New York theater kids. You know, they were just.
Oh, really?
Ready yeah. to go. Yeah. Like
they like wake up and it's like the sun will come out tomorrow. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing where it's like they start singing and you're like, oh, my God, this is like this 11-year-old girl is like accomplished, you know, like
phenomenal,
has it all, and so forth. But
sure.
But yeah, so it's still a fun. It's kind of worth a Netflix watch. So, oh, yeah. Cat Person is a thriller of sorts. So it's kind of a bad date gone wrong, a little bit stalkerish. He's a cat. He says he's a cat person, but is he?
Like some of your Setjetter fans.
I'm just, well, maybe. So
you never know. I'm just kidding.
So I liked what they did with it. It kind of eventually runs out of steam, but I think it's worth it. So
yeah.
Yeah, that's about all I'll say for that.
You got me at the title, Cat Person.
That's where I'm like, well, when, and my sister in particular is picking out all these movies, you know, I was like, you literally get a two sentence thing and maybe a picture, and you're like, well, we like
cats.
Oh,
yeah. You don't know what you're getting into.
Yeah. We like cats. So this must be, you know.
This is for us.
Yeah. It's hard. It's usually the ones the kind of least expecting to be good kind of blows you away, because you do go with kind of almost zero expectations. So the other one I put worth a watch, even though I'm like, it might be down a peg. It's called Fair Play. And so
Fair Play.
Man and woman, young woman working Wall Street, and then he didn't get the promotion, but she did, and then kind of the dynamics of that. It's another one where you end up hating. Neither one are likable, and at some point you're like, "Who am I rooting for?" You know,
not likable in the sense you don't care for the characters, or you downright just dislike them.
They're also having bad behaviors. I'll say that. So, should I be rooting
not
for
on their
her?
Best?
Yeah, everybody's not at their. Yeah, you're right. Everybody's not at their best, and they could all make better decisions in the end. But but they didn't. So, but the thing is, obviously, their annoyances got to me. So obviously, it did something. It triggered something in me. So.
Oh, I don't like when you get triggered in movies. Like, I love it because it's hilarious to talk about, but it would scare me at the time. You're like, Krampus actually made you angry. I was like, well, whoa.
That's.
I would hate to take you to a movie and let you down if I raved about it, you know?
Oh, you would know, too. You could just tell, apparently.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Nick is probably listening. And he sat next to me during Krampus, and I don't think he even needed to look at me. And my body posture was indicative of all right. It. Next movie, another documentary, 20 Days in Mariupol. So it's, I think it's the first 20 days of the Russian invasion into Ukraine, and this is kind of one of the last big cities. So same thing, this is a documentary crew that's more or less, we're kind of almost hospital, as they were trying to go around, trying to escape the bombings and so forth. So again,
was it filmed in the first 20 days of the war?
I think it was the first 20 days, or it's just the actual 20 days. I can't remember. So it might have been kind of somewhere in the middle. I can't remember when the city ended up falling. So it doesn't go that far. So at some point they got out of there. I know.
Yeah.
But it was before that. So
scary.
Same thing. It's just scary footage to see. And
yeah,
it's just people are living that life.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah. So so as you can see, the documentaries usually kind of stand out more to me.
Documentaries have changed the game in the last 10 years. They used to be like, oh, there's one or two good ones, maybe. And now it's like they're true works of art. Not to say there wasn't any of that before, but they've really, really stepped it up. And when you talk about a movie like this, which I haven't seen, I can only imagine it's like it hits. It's pretty heavy.
Absolutely. So
I was doing one called 20 Days in Omaha. I was just going around the hospitals, and people were like, "You, sir, you can't be in here." And it was bad. It was
stop
really bad.
Filming,
sir. Please, sir. Like,
I want to get into Sundance.
You're breaking the law, sir. Anyway, I'm sorry.
1001 narrative film. So it stars Teyana Taylor. She was really good. It kind of follows that she ends up having to take in a 6-year-old. And also, it's nothing. A lot of people making bad decisions. So, but
poor choices.
Poor, yeah. That's maybe that is the the theme this year for Sundance is poor choices and bad behaviors.
I just picture my father being like, did you make some poor choices this year? It's like,
apparently so. But this one got a lot of buzz. And so
1,001?
1,001. So I think it was bought opening night or it might have been a premiere. So that one you'll keep a lookout. Bad Press, another documentary. This is following Muscogee Nation Press and how the community or the city council or they don't call it the city council and I kind of forget what they're
like the commune.
Yeah, it's called and just how they literally suppressed freedom of press on them and won pretty much for the most part. So, which is kind of scary to think. So
same thing.
It's just, I'm always curious to like, you know, you never know. Real life doesn't happen in an easy narrative.
Right.
So obviously
right.
They're running camera. At what point do you think let's start running cameras? Because, you know, it feels like the cameras are running at the beginning, but you don't know where it's going to go. And is there just movies that are thrown into the trash because like, well, they got it. So there's no,
we got it guys.
Yeah. Nothing to see here. They won their case.
Moving on.
Yeah. And or you're looking for something where they didn't win or
right.
Like that. But
and how did they film that though? Is that a true, like, yes.
They were filming. Somebody was filming kind of around and I'll be talking about a documentary I did not like. So a lot of these documentarians, you don't see them. There's just mystery cameras kind of following them around. So now that I'm saying this out loud, they did win the case, I think, to have the free press, but then I think it was a lot of asterisks and so forth. But
interesting. Yeah.
So usually, and Sundance, especially the past few years, I would say it's probably 90% female directors. So they took a intentional point to ensure that women directors are getting their fair share, which is nice. So it's
of course, weird
when a male director comes on afterward, like, oh, a man directed this. But then he's usually like 12. So when they are, but so that's a good one.
Cool.
Another documentary is Still a Small Voice, in is it Mount Sinai Hospital? So following around one chaplain in particular, especially they're kind of on a, I don't know what to call it, the hospice floor, but just kind of dealing with their day-to-day life and what they have to deal with. But then also a lot of, kind of human resources that come into it. It's not an easy job. And I was kind of surprised at how, you know, supervisor, employee yelling at each other, you know, just like they're showing it like
how that plays out.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, if it's Cherry Jones, then it's fine. But
that's like, I didn't see one Cherry Jones picture this year. So
damn it.
But anyway,
is it like thought provoking? Is it provocative of the mind?
Enough.
Yeah.
It is because you know these are real life people, and you're like, should you be taking sides? You know.
Right. It's always interesting with that dichotomy because it's like, what would I do if you were here?
And there's a couple of people like I'm like they'll probably never talk to each other again, and both people are at the premiere. Even though
are you
I
serious?
Did see the, the director was on each side of them, so I wonder if they're like, I'll be there.
Oh, awkward.
I'm not gonna stand. Yeah, so that's I'm like, is it awkward? I mean, they you're putting yourselves out there. You know, you kind of
at that point, you are.
Okay, so but anyway, so that's my worth a watch list right there.
Okay, I like them.
I have a few doing laundry movies. Victim Suspect. So this is a documentary, but what annoyed me was the journalist in this is on screen 40% of the time. So it's
too much.
And I just, what I don't like is like, there'll be shots of her thinking and whatever. And I'm like, it's not real because she knows there's a cameraman there, you know, and doing thing, and it was just like it just felt too much about her.
Yeah, you're aware at that point that like okay, you know that there's a cameraman there. What are you doing?
Yeah, and when she's the thing is why it's still worth a watch because it is. I guess I went over the whole thing, but it's about women who were sexually assaulted, but the police convinced them to make a false say they made it up, even though that was false, make a false report. And then they arrest them for making a false report. And so it's
entrapment.
Yeah. And so it's just horrible, and it definitely should be spotlighted. But as a film, I got upset because it felt like it was all about her being the star. So
yeah,
I just
it kind of didn't sit well, sort of thing with him.
No, yeah, seemed a little not false about. Like I said, the story needs to be told, but
anyway. But still, yeah, something rings false.
Animalia, and this is kind of a strange pregnant wife. Who was not rich, but married into a very rich family, but the family goes away to go something. And then there's kind of a aliens or weather weird invasion happening. And she needs to escape to meet up with them. And I think it takes place in Morocco. So it's a strange, it's
Animalia.
Yeah. It's not compelling.
Is it better than the 90s movie Mimic?
Probably yes.
Okay.
I feel like Mimic is a go to sleep movie. Animalia could be a go to sleep movie, but you could rewind and catch up with it later. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
It fits the description of a doing laundry movie.
Yeah, doing laundry. That way you can come and go, and you're like, oh, did something else? Did something happen?
Did something happen?
The Accidental Getaway Driver. So, I was hoping for a kind of a different movie. So it's based on a true story where a I think in the true story, older man was picked up, and they used him to drive. They held him hostage, but had him drive him around and so forth. I can't remember how much they kind of stole from here, but in the movie version, three escaped guys from jail call a Uber or drive. You know, they obviously don't call it Uber, but and they have a couple days where they take him around while they're trying to figure out what to do, and are they going to kill him, and so forth. It becomes more of a character drama. And I think going in, you kind of were wanting a different type of movie, especially with that title.
I would think so. Naked eye, you're kind of like, okay. But then when you described it, I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah. So it's great acting, I think, but it's just not what you expect. So
yeah,
and at some point all these titles could change. There's been a number of Sundance films that once I see them, and then once they come out, they have a totally different title. So
well, once they hear the show, if you give it a bad review, they're like, Robert, no, we got to change this title. Give it like new marketing right away.
Oh my god,
like Eight-Legged Freaks used to be called Spiderville, but Robert gave it a bad review and they changed the name. Like, so
that's yeah, no, who wants that? So. Spiderville, that would.
It's ridiculous.
Sounds like a show.
It does.
No, my no list.
Oh, yeah. I've always loved the comments that come with this. These are movies that you do not recommend that you saw at Sundance.
No. A Little Prayer, I could not stay awake. It was kind of a drama where they just all acting upon acting. And I'm like, oh, get out, you know.
Well, see, my question is, when you're watching these, you have the option to, like, obviously in real life, not real, live, you can leave. But yes. If you're at your home, do you try to tough it out to give it, like, do you treat it like a film and watch the whole thing, or do you turn it off? We do.
I mean, lights are off and we don't stop. This one, I think it was film number 5 that night. So I think I was tired anyway, and not much was happening. And there was a lot of, it wasn't whispering acting, but you know, it's just like, nothing was happening.
Right, we're always whispering what's going on.
So I really, I shouldn't even rated it all because I slept through most of it, but I'll tell you right there that that's my review. I slept through most of it.
Your dreams were better than what their writing was.
Well, something like, you know, woke up and like, I don't care what happened to these people.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, it doesn't grasp you.
No. Sometimes I think about dying, which is a great title.
Sometimes you thought about dying while watching that movie, I think.
Well, at some point I'm sure that will be the review. It's like, I thought of about course. It too. So, Daisy Ridley of Star Wars sequel fame. So
almost Keira Knightley.
Yeah,
that's when she first came out in Star Wars. I'm like, they kind of wanted Keira Knightley because of the Captain Jack Sparrow movies, but
yeah, but
that's the angle they were going with. They want like the British girl.
Keira
she's a great actress.
Already in Star Wars. She was in the Star Wars prequel, or one of them. So
she was in Sith, right?
I can't remember. So
I mean, they're all good.
back to sometimes I think about as that.
Wait, so Daisy Riddle was in which one? I think about something to think about dying.
Yeah, sometimes I think about dying.
Okay.
So she's just, which she does in the movie. You know, she has some suicidal thoughts, and she's kind of one of those awkward people at the office, and somebody's trying to kind of come on to her and so forth, and kind of meanders around a little while, and you're like, same thing. Not enough quite happens too.
Was it more of a pacing thing for you, or?
No, I just mean, this one isn't really bad, just nothing truly happens. And when there's, you know, the whatever epiphany at the end, is like, no, not buying it.
We're not having it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not having it. So,
yeah.
At the very, very bottom of the list is Onyx, the Fortuitist, and the Talisman of Souls.
They lost me at the title. How narcissistic can you be?
I would, if this was a Netflix watch, I would have stopped 10 minutes in.
You know, but unless it's Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, you're an asshole if your film is more than 5 words. All right?
Oh.
Like, come on. Stop it. Think about putting it just on a marquee. Just come on. Don't make a minimum wage employee, like, put up 800 letters for your shitty art project. But enough.
This was one of our few Midnight movies. So we thought, usually we love our, you know, the Midnight movies at Sundance. And this one, I was just like, all right, I stuck through it. We both stuck through it. But I also know that we, you know, at one point we probably could have done a little eye shift to each other and like, we're done.
Not having it.
Yeah. Which I did too a couple years ago too. I can't remember which. It was a Nicolas Cage film at Sundance. I'm like,
You spoke about that. At least if it was the one like 2 years ago we talked about.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember what that one was, but I'm like, I'm not giving this movie another minute of my life.
You're not gonna waste your life on it.
No, but
I'm glad that you stuck it out though through a lot of these. Well, it sounds like you covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, well, 19 films. I mean that was quite a bit.
That's a lot. That's good.
But I wish I had a couple like you can't, you know. Like last time we talked, I mean, we did our year end and I, you know, there was 5 or 6 films that were Sundance alone that I put as my best of the year. But
yeah. What were the goodies that they sent you in the mail this year?
So not as many goodies. So we got a couple blankets, a couple, these drink mixes, which I'm not a drinker. So I'm like, we didn't even open them, but then we looked them up. Like these things are like 40, 50 bucks each. It doesn't even have alcohol with them. It's a, something. And then
like a seltzer thing.
I don't know. It comes in a packets and stuff like that. I'll have to look it up.
I would just want Diet Coke sent to me.
Yeah. So yeah, what? Just send me Diet Coke. Yeah,
just we didn't Diet Cokes, please.
Yeah, first year we had a lot of kind of more fun stuff, and then a couple of candy, specialty candy bars and stuff like that, which I have not eaten yet. And so not as exciting. So kind of maybe par for the course for Sundance 2023. Like, it was fine.
Did you feel like last year's entries were better than this year's?
Yes.
Yeah, by like a long shot or just?
I think there was a lot more 5 stars.
Really?
The way, Emily the Criminal, I really liked. Yeah, there's enough that I wanted to see again.
Did you see a trend this year in like more virtue signaling kind of movies? For better or for worse?
Maybe, I mean, you could kind of tell because some of them had a lot of the same themes, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you feel yours, like, one year it's all about this, and the next year, and probably it's like, is there's this kind of mindset that we're all kind of making the same films? Obviously, they don't want to step on each other's toes, but
right.
Is this a, they're not chasing a hot topic either. These are things that just happen to be, they want to capture, especially documentary-wise.
Yeah, right. It doesn't necessarily follow a particular trend, but
no,
each year might have like themes that stick out.
Yeah, except for Onyx.
Interesting. Onyx and the Fortuitous Night of Fantastic Bedazzlement.
I'll have to look to see if there's a good clip to show you. It's kind of a little example of really? The way the main character talks too.
Oh yeah, please send it to me. I love when you isolate things that you don't like and you're like, just watch. Like the Showgirls 2 trailer. It's amazing.
Well, you can't get better than the Showgirls 2 trailer, but he does this thing where every sentence ends on a, I can't even do it. On a upswing. Upswing.
On a ups-
yeah.
Oh upswing. Really?
Yeah, yeah. I mean the whole movie. And I was like, oh,
you mean like unintentionally? That's how he
intentionally. Yeah, this is. I think this might be a character. Yeah, I don't know what he's doing.
What are you gonna do up there later on?
Yeah, that's why I can't even. It's more annoying than you think. But
Shelley's dead.
That I could. that we can watch over and over again. Of course.
I think that's funny. Well, I'm glad you had a chance to. I love to always hear the recaps of Sundance.
Yeah. And speaking of Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. So I was in Savannah a few weeks ago and obviously concentrating mostly on Halloween Ends locations and had the good fortune to be granted access to two houses in the film. So the Laurie Strode's house and then the Dr. Mathis house.
That's so cool. You got in there.
It is. Yeah. So both of I felt bad. So the and listeners don't do this because they asked people not to. He actually put those on his Instagram. Please don't knock on our door.
What do you mean? Like on his personal Instagram?
Yeah, so they have Instagram because somebody commented saying, how did you get in? I'm like, politeness or whatever. And
because I'm Robert?
I don't know. And then somebody commented like, they yelled at me from the porch. Or da-da. I'm like, I don't know. And so, and I must have said I got permission. And
of course,
and he commented, he's like, we made a special exception in this case. Please don't knock on our door. So,
yeah,
I don't know if I just ruin it for everybody else, but he was so both of them. Like, I went to that, and literally, I forgot what time it was. Like Sunday morning, and it was like 9:30 Sunday morning, and for some reason, I was in a different. I don't know what time I thought it was. And I ring the doorbell and they come to their office outside. I mean, they come to the door in their pajamas. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, but they said, well, we'll think about it. We'll text you and let you know. And then when I went to Dr. Mathis's house, same thing. I thought, well, try my luck. And they said, oh, we want to clean up for you. And so
yeah, there you
we'll
go.
Text you a time to go tomorrow. I'm like, okay. And then both texted and said at a certain time. And so Laurie Strode's up super nice and had a lot of kind of unique stories that he was able to tell and let me take my share of pictures and so forth. So that was really nice. And then the Dr. Mathis house, they were just so excited, especially the wife, to show me every single little thing. And they left a spot of blood on
really?
The ceiling.
Really? Like they were really into
yeah. And they're like
going over everything?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't take any pictures for like the first 15 minutes because she was like taking me from room to room to kind of show what they did. And they left the curtains and all the kind of things that they kind of different stories and stuff like that. So it was
so
exciting
cool.
That they were actually excited, you know, to kind of be showing off their house and so forth.
And
so.
You got in there first and probably the last from the sound. I don't, that's I all I care about is that you were there like the moon landing and that's it.
That's it. I think another fan had been into Dr. Mathis's house before me or a family or something like that. They were big Halloween fans as well. But you know, I just.
Was Mathis's house the one you're saying you went to the first house? They said, we'll think about it. And then you shot. Yep. Was that like the same day?
Yeah.
So you got in both of them on the same day?
Yeah. So I flew in Saturday afternoon and wow. I was going to go right to the hotel, but I'm like, oh, I have about an hour of sunlight left. And so I just started running around doing locations on the way to the hotel. And I it's interesting because I got to the junkyard and they had just closed up and I was like, oh, and the guy stopped me. I didn't realize he was the owner at the time. And he said, can I help you with something? I'm like, no, I'm just a fan. And I just took some pictures from the outside. I didn't go in. And then like to the gas station, which I heard somebody said the gas station was a little bit shady, but it was fine. And they let me take.
Oh yeah. You mentioned that
pictures inside and so forth. So, but yeah, so I kind of ran around and then the next morning, you know, I had a lot to do. And so I just started bright and early and started.
Oh,
going
did you want me to share these? I'm sorry. I didn't realize you had a page for it up.
I don't have a page yet. I mean, that's old pictures. Yeah. I haven't updated
the page.
Yeah.
I didn't think you did. I thought they were old because we went over these, but I'm sorry if I. Okay.
No, I'm starting to work on that right now. But like right now, I'm about a third through the movie and I already have 400 comparison shots.
Dean Forrest, not Dean Ford.
I'm sorry, messed it up. But so kidding. I went to, I think there's, I don't know how many locations I went to, but yeah, pretty much every Halloween location, and everybody was super nice. The grocery store,
yeah,
and all that stuff.
Oh, the grocery store you got into?
Yeah, of course.
Well, not that you couldn't get into it, but like you found it.
Yeah, yeah. That that one took a while, and then I drove all the way up to where the bridge is, you know. So yeah. I got there around sunset, and then I took some day pictures, and I'm like, decided to wait around till night to go under the bridge and get the night shots. So they matched up a little bit. So I had a lovely breakfast.
When you're, I can't imagine. That's quite a day.
At
when you go to the locations, yeah. Do you have the Halloween theme music on to get yourself in the mood?
I don't. You just GPS.
Just GPS.
I usually wear my Halloween stuff so people kind of know what
you know, like you're a fan, like
what I'm there.
You know
for.
What you're doing.
I went to a couple, or I just ended up just one location for the menu. So the dock that they leave on, I was all ready to go over, and a big location fail. So as soon as I pull up. Cranes and construction, and I can't even get close.
Oh no.
So and then the dock that they arrived to the island on is in a state park, and so I went down there, and it's in a gated area, so you'd have to be a registered camper and pay a day fee, and I'm like, so
they're also, like, almost don't want you to go in there.
So and I don't know if it's Robert Luck, but I'm like, hey, this is what I want to do. And she goes, well, I'll give you a free 20-minute pass. I'm like, all right, that's all, yeah. All I need.
That's so, exactly what I want.
That's exactly what I want. So so pretty much got all my Halloween locations. And then my last day,
nice.
I was just about, you know, the diner that they have. I had dinner at the diner. Same thing, I'm about headed back, and it's barely sun is just about setting. I'm like, I haven't done any Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil locations. So I did, I don't know, like 15 Midnight in the Garden of Evil locations in the matter of like 80 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And the last, that's when it was like almost dark to get my last shot, but I did it.
That's ambitious. That's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Oh, we just had a little quake.
Oh.
Tiny one.
I want to be there for a quake.
We had a scary one last week. It woke everybody up.
I saw.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
That's exciting stuff.
Jarring. But that's a lot of locations to get.
It is. So I have like 6,000 pictures that I'm sorting through right now. So.
Oh my gosh. I'm excited to see them. This is exciting.
Yeah,
we'll have to do a proper unveiling once the page is live.
Yeah, once I'm like, the owners are kind of waiting. He's like, can't wait to see it, your work. I'm like, oh, all right. Like,
oh, are they asking? It's like when somebody doesn't do like film a lot or something, they like shoot something like, well, can I see it? You're like, oh, it's like there's editing. It's going to be like a year before it comes out. They're probably like very excited.
Yeah. And probably, you know, they're because I was excited to be there. And so I just need to take the time. And you know me, like the grocery store, I know I overdo it. Like the grocery store scene alone.
You do good work.
I probably have 50 comparison shots. I'm like, nobody cares.
They care. People care.
Nobody needs a shot of Jamie doing this.
But they
doing
do.
This. Yeah.
That's why your site's so good, though, because you put the time in.
I know. But still, I feel like I'm overdoing it. So it could be as you know, big scenes or whatever. And I get to the end and I'm like, and here's one shot of this.
Here's the Mrs. Doubtfire house behind me. I didn't want to be here.
I should be scowling in my picture.
It was hilarious. Like, here it is. Yep.
Anyway.
Done.
But yeah,
no, but so, that's exciting, though. I'm really excited you got to get down there. That's such a nice looking town, too.
Have you been to Savannah? I had not been there before.
I've been down to Georgia. Yeah, around those parts.
Oh, and speaking of Savannah, begrudgingly, I got in my car, and I turned it on, and the GPS pulled up, and it said Forrest Gump Bench 0.1 miles away, and I'm like,
oh, of course.
I suppose.
Yeah.
I should. And so I got out of my car, and some car was mad at me because they thought I was leaving. And so I said, I'm sorry, you know.
Yeah.
I walk around that effing park, and then I'm like,
I love
where,
that you
where is this bench? And then I pulled up in the map. It says it's currently being repolished, or I don't know what. I'm like, the bench isn't there right now.
Oh, wait. I thought the bench. I mean, I don't know this. I'm speculating. Oh. I figured the bench would be like in the Smithsonian or something now.
Well, one of the benches is at Paramount.
Yeah, okay. And, yeah, I didn't think they would just leave it there. Somebody would steal it.
And the bench there, I think it's maybe a commemorative bench. I don't know. But anyway, it's like, okay, I'm never coming back to Savannah. I should probably get a picture of the Forrest Gump bench. Right. But no. Oh, but actually, the owner, the wife of the Dr. Mathis house is a reporter in Forrest Gump. She's the one that says that she's a news reporter, and she's the one that first reports that Forrest Gump is running across the country or something like that. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where she's like, yeah, I know exactly. Jenny's in the diner and is like, local man, Forrest Gump was yada,
that's,
yada, yada.
That's her. She's living in Dr. Mathis's house.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a twist.
Yeah. So that's why I'm like, oh, I guess I should honor her and go to the Forrest Gump bench. But it wasn't there.
Was it there?
It's like, come on. So, which is, there's worse location fails to have.
Yeah, I can imagine. But I don't, your heart was in the right place.
Yeah, but I don't think I had any Halloween Ends location fails, so it worked out.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see those pictures.
Yes, soon.
Soon, coming soon on setjetter.com. All right, so I lost your video. Can you still see me?
I can still see you.
Okay.
Maybe I need to do a thing. There we go.
Oh, there you go.
You missed all my animated.
Yeah, I was looking for the animations. But we have a treat coming up next. This trailer has fans of the franchise split between a great movie and a terrible movie. I think it's the weakest link, not the weakest link, but it's up there in the Aliens franchise. Mm. What do you think about Alien 3? Where does it fall? Resurrection's the worst. Or would you go with Alien versus Predator?
If we're only talking about the four, two. Because I don't know if we're counting the AVPs or the...
Let's talk the four. Let's just do the four.
Out of the four, it is probably third.
Yeah.
I'm probably a 2-1-3-4
type of
person.
Me too.
I don't. So are we listening to the trailer? Are we watching the trailer? I don't.
We're going to watch it.
Oh, we're going to watch it? Okay. Maybe you should watch 400
times.
It. And then, okay.
Well, see, let's do I don't remember watching the trailer since.
Is this a teaser trailer or a trailer?
This is the 1 minute official trailer. Okay. So I guess this was like the ones they played on extended commercials on TV. Okay. It's not like the 2 minute one.
Okay.
But let's give it a watch, shall we?
All right. Using Aliens music.
Here, in a world where the sun burns cold, and the wind blows colder, a visitor has come. But not by herself.
It started.
The suspense is back.
And we have no weapons of any kind?
The fear is back.
No! Don't look back, dude! Run as fast as you can!
And most of all, the bitch is back. Alien 3.
Now... Some of those shots, I don't think were even in the film, as they are with a lot of trailers. But
yeah, obviously, there's some. I think some work print or original cut is in there. So yeah, it makes you like, yeah. And this is where you see something like that, and like, you know what, I need to give it a fair shot. And then you watch it, and you're like, oh,
like what happened?
Yeah, obviously they're using Aliens music, so that changes the
right
the feel of it. But watching the trailer, I'm like, you can't go wrong with the iconic shot of the alien at her face, you know?
Oh, that was what they used for like every marketing campaign. Yeah. Even like, I remember as a kid, the newspaper like had that shot and I was like, I can't wait to see this, you know?
And it's so exciting. I will say, out of all four movies, that is probably the best shot.
I get on board with that. Yeah. It really is.
But yeah. So, and I was at the time I was excited because, David Fincher, wasn't a director, but I knew him because he directed Madonna's best videos, including Express Yourself.
Right, right.
And so I was just like, and then I swear to God that there's some Express Yourself. I think the sets were made prior to his hiring, but some of the sets look like the Express Yourself.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? The it's all men.
Oh, not a coincidence for sure.
All men and one woman, just like Madonna's Express Yourself. Obviously, the Express Yourself is based on Metropolis, the film. But
right.
But yeah, so I saw a lot of mirroring in that aspect. And so yeah, there's a lot of good parts, but then it just doesn't work.
Yeah, I don't think the sum is greater than the. It equals all the moving parts, mm-hmm. because on paper, you know, it was what, 7 years since Aliens came out, something like that.
Is this 92? Yeah, so 86 to 92, so yeah. 6 years. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was like a good time. 90s, there was like new technology. Terminator 2 already came out. You're like, what are they gonna do? The trailer has the music. There's just so much they could have done, and they decided to kill off Newt. I mean, I know Carrie Henn is 7 years. It wouldn't have worked. I mean, it could have. They could have been.
They could have found a way.
Yeah, they could have been frozen or whatever. But if Michael Biehn was in there and they did something, you know. But it just, I didn't care about the prisoners. I gave it a shot. I that wasn't a game deal breaker for me, but it just fell so flat.
Yeah,
I don't know.
The thing is, it still has moments, like I said, and then obviously the moment with her and. Terminating herself and the queen, you know, it's memorable. Sad, you know, we didn't want to watch. I mean, I still like that. And then you see the faraway shots of the flames going, you know, they're pulling down the flames and stuff like that. So it's meaningful. It just felt like a total closing of the book on that. And so I think you might have been a little sad because, like, well, there's the end of that franchise.
A little sad, yeah.
Yeah.
I was even more sad with the Alien Resurrection.
I'm like,
oh, that should have been the end of it. No, but you're right. Yeah. It's a closing of the book.
It is kind of strange. Now, looking back, that Fox would let them close that book that much. You know, obviously they still didn't, but
right.
It's interesting that they would kind of let.
Yeah.
Let her go, but you know, it was Scorny's payday. You know, it was up to her. If this film flew or not, so.
And I think they paid her like a ridiculous amount of money in addition to her regular salary, just to like shave her head, kind of thing.
Yeah, and then she had it in her contract. If there was any reshoot, she wouldn't reshave her head. So, I think the final scene is actually part of the shots are a reshoot. Oh. So that's a semi bald cap, or you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but
interesting. They reshot that. The The opening, the first act, I mean, where Newt and Michael Biehn's character, Hicks, you know, when they get cremated and stuff, it's sad and it's touching. And I see what they did at the end with the kind of full circle. Mm-hmm. And they brought Bishop back, or the guy that created him, whatever. but I don't know. It just, you know, even as a kid, I always thought the... I'm kind of nitpicking a little bit, but the I know we're talking about the Aliens franchise, but the whole idea of, okay, they're prisoners, so you're going to waste all these resources of, like, using a whole planet for, like, 20 guys far away, and it takes, like, 3 weeks to get there with supplies, and that's so much fuel. I'm like, it was just a weird dichotomy, I thought, to have, like, to go through the trouble.
Yeah, what were they doing? Were they creating energy for something? Like...
They were mining ore.
Yeah.
But it was weird. There was like 20 guys. You never really saw them mining. They just were kind of in the tunnels.
They just ate at the cafeteria and...
Yeah.
And cleaned up the tunnels.
Right. And do you remember there was like, oh, the supply ship, it's 2 weeks away. It's like, well, if it takes that long to reach this planet, what's the point? Like, of wasting the fuel? And I don't know.
It's Weyland-Yutani. They're the worst.
Hey, Weyland-Yutani. We manufacture those, by the way.
Oh, speaking of, one of the documentary, the bad press one, one of the reporters is wearing a Weyland-Yutani t-shirt.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he makes note of it because he talks about aliens. And he's like, the reason I'm, you know, because he's like, Weyland-Yutani is a corrupt corporate. He's just like these people. And
just like these
people. Yeah, I thought it was great. Cause
oh,
he's like,
so great.
He's like, as soon as I knew what it, I know a Weyland-Yutani shirt when I see it.
Yeah, we know what it is. Yeah. Do you own a Weyland-Yutani t-shirt?
I don't know if I think I might. I know I have a Weyland-Yutani patch somewhere. But
oh, cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, just in case I need to put a...
in case you have... Yeah, oh, well, I think I need to get you a shirt. I do owe you a t-shirt, so... Yeah. See what I can do.
But the reason I ask is I think the original early teaser trailers, before they even shot a film or piece of film, or it was early on, indicated that they might be coming to Earth.
Right. Yes.
And and it was barely, it was like a teaser. It was probably a 15-second trailer, and it's like, no one can scream you here on or something like on Earth. And I think the egg was actually above Earth, and you're like, oh my gosh, they're doing it. But no.
Yeah, I forgot about that. And as like any directors would do, and especially I would do with this movie, they blamed it on like script changes like every day, and there was like a whole different idea. So there were like two different directors. Like, didn't David Fincher start directing it and somebody else came in?
I don't
in
remember. I know. Obviously, they had a lot
somebody
of issues.
Was going to.
Yeah, a lot of issues with David Fincher, and he's brought on late, and he couldn't change the sets or
that's
something
what it
like
was.
That. And
yeah.
Producers are on him the whole time. And this was his big first picture, feature film, I think. So
yeah,
he survived it, you know, and obviously became kind of his own director, but it wasn't easy for him. So.
Right. You're all gonna die. Okay, so next up, what is this first Golden Raspberry Awards?
I thought
this is cool.
Our future shows, what I thought, because I, you know, we talked about the best of, and the Raspberry Awards, for the Golden Raspberry Awards.
Oh, future also known shows. As, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have read that out loud.
Yeah. You're just reading the teleprompter out loud. But
what is the social security number that you have, Robert?
I was thinking so. If you haven't heard, the Razzies have been around a while, and it kind of made the news again because they actually, I think only twice they've taken back a nomination. They actually took back a nomination for Worst Actress this past year for the little girl that played in Firestarter. Because one, they just thought, you know, you shouldn't put child, you know, it's unnecessary, you know, child actor.
Yeah, it's cruel.
On a thing and so forth. So. The other one that they rescinded the nomination later was Shelley Duvall in The Shining, they said based on the behavior of Stanley Kubrick, how he treated her in that film, they didn't feel right in leaving that nomination out there.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, stuff like that. So I think that's the only two they've actually kind of rescinded.
Interesting.
Anyway, so I thought it might be interesting to kind of revisit the Razzies year by year.
I love that.
And see, one, do we even know what these films are? Because sometimes you look at them like, this film was so bad, it never even showed up on Tubi.
that's the measure of a really terrible film. Was it on Tubi? No. Oh. It's like a step up from a student film at that point.
Yeah. And enjoyably bad, you know, like I think Showgirls was a winner, you know, enjoyably bad.
Oh, yeah. Like Catwoman was like synonymous with the Razzies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, Halle Berry is one of the few people that went and picked hers up, which I appreciate.
She's a good sport about it. She went and I know it was bad. Like, I got paid. What are you going to do? We're moving on.
She got Oscar that same, you know, like, what are you going to do? This is my life, you know.
Now, just and we'll get into this when we do this segment. But just looking at the first year, it's very interesting list. Some of these, which is fun. So I'm excited to do this.
Yeah, I think it should be fun. Yeah. So it's a little something different. So
yeah, I'll switch it up a little bit. I did have a Blind Man's Bluff tonight, unless you didn't have the time.
No, bring it on.
This is always exciting. This is what fans from all around the world. Right into, but Blind Man's
all
Bluff,
over Nebraska,
all over they Nebraska.
Running now.
Pawnee, Nebraska State Senator Gil Leroy says that. So how this works, as you know, listeners, is I'll read a description from one of Robert's pages on setgender.com, and then we'll share the video feed, and he'll talk about it. So let's see if you can guess this one, Robert.
Okay.
This title proved to be a video hit, so a sequel was not far behind. This blank location series is featured in Horror's Hallowed Grounds in the March 2018 issue of Horror Hound Magazine. Blower links for each film. I didn't give you much with that.
Is it Leprechaun?
Gosh, it's Leprechaun 2, but yes.
Okay.
It is.
Oh, okay.
Great job. Okay. Did you put March because of St. Patrick's Day together?
Well, that's what made me think, because I was like, wait a second. That's good my only. Job. That might have been where I gave myself away. Or
No, it's fantastic. Yeah. But it's Leprechaun 2, which is 1994. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said, yeah. So the reason I also think because when I turned in my art, I said, I can do the Leprechaun series. And they're like, all right. And I remember the editor was like, Jesus Christ, I didn't realize how big it would be. And I was like, well, I'm a completist. You know, I said, you can edit what you want. But yeah. So, Leprechaun 2.
Before we do these, was Leprechaun 2. That was direct-to-video, or was it theatrically released?
I think that might have been theatrical. I don't know.
I thought so,
too. That was a strange time where things did go right to me. I don't know.
Actually. Yeah. But these are some cool locations. It opens with, of course, the film opens in Ireland 1,000 years ago. But, of course, we're filmed in California.
Ireland, also known as Griffith Park. lovely downtown LA.
Yeah. Do you remember when you shot these locations?
It had been a while because I hate going to downtown LA, and especially these.
I know you do.
It's weird enough, you know, even on the best part, ignoring the arts district, but I was like, you have, you
know, I know.
$800 camera, and people are like, where are you taking my picture? I'm like,
give me some money.
Yeah. Buy my CD. And like, no.
Oh, is this Clint Howard?
It is, yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Just a very bit part, so.
Yeah. Okay, so Brennan's Bar is a real tavern. This is in, Marina Del Rey.
Yeah.
Following the theme of printed signs, like in Leprechaun 3 Vegas.
That's what we had to do in 94, whenever this came out. Yeah, so Brennan's Bar, they were actually nice enough. They had done some renovations, but they let me go in and take some pictures.
Home of the turtle racing. Cool. Oh, you know, I know where this place is. Haven't eaten there, though.
Oh.
But I think they filmed a Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee here.
Oh, really? Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So that. So it pretty much looks the same. You know, they did some few updates and so forth, but still recognizable. And
yeah. This is still part of Brennan's Bar?
Yep. Yeah, so sometimes they make so many changes, you know, that it's hard to kind of line up, and I have to kind of use some windows and so forth. But
yeah,
I kind of figured it out. So, little house. This is like not too far. I think just if you go farther up the street, this is up the street is the Madonna location for Open Your Heart.
Oh, cool.
So for Madonna and Leprechaun fans, it's all right there for you.
There you go. Yeah, check it out, folks.
Probably original fence.
I love the woman's face here. But still, what was the context of the scene?
You know what? I barely remember this movie. I think this was he's giving a tour, and this was some famous house or whatever. And like, she was like,
oh,
kicking people off, kind of like the Laurie Strode house. No,
very similar. I'm guessing Leprechaun 2 is not a film you visit that often.
No, I only did it because I think I knew it was doing a series. So okay. This is interesting. So in the movie, they go to the Houdini estate, and they actually
famous house.
Went to the Houdini estate. So, and this is not open to the public, but you know me, I'm a completist.
You got to do it. Now, I know where this is. You have to, you can't just like stop your car there. It's right in the canyon.
It's right off the canyon.
How did you sneak in there?
I didn't sneak in, for Pete's sakes.
I mean, how did you obtain access?
I asked permission.
They were cool.
I emailed them and said what I was doing, and could I come out and take photos? And they said yes. So they gave me about an hour and a half to go around and take, even though it only showed up in a couple scenes. So I got those pictures, but then there's just Houdini stuff all over the place. I mean, that was where he yeah. one of the places that he lived and stuff like that. So
oh, that's so cool. You got in there.
Yeah. Strange Robert Luck. So
the best luck of the Irish.
Former Grand Prix was right here. Now a Toyota dealership, of course.
What was Grand Prix? The
cars. What do you call the?
The go-karts.
Go-karts. Yeah. So.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So that's where that was located. So.
Oh yes, lovely Northridge.
Random driving shots. I don't know why I do what I do, but
that's awesome. These are good. These are good matchups.
Yeah. Just for you, I know people are fans. Like, where's that 2 second shot of them driving? Like, there it is.
Oh no, it's awesome. It's very exciting.
Driving downtown. What else do we got here? Third lovely Street Promenade. Yep.
I'm guessing this wasn't a rented shoot when they shot this. It was very guerrilla style.
I think. Well, and this is probably just stock footage now that I think about it, because I'm like, I don't think characters actually show up in frame.
Okay. Yeah. Because I can't see the Leprechaun 2 running out the Third Street Promenade.
No. No. They wouldn't have that. So.
No. Back to Brennan's.
Yeah, back to Brennan's. And if you go down a little farther around downtown, back to Brennan's, more bar shots. And I think I have it at the very end. There is technically a leprechaun prop, or go up a little bit. Let me see. And click this, go up one more and take the second picture. No. Yeah, well, it probably shows up at the end. So the leprechaun that you see as a statue is actually still at Brennan's. So.
Oh, no, I saw it. It's right up here.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Okay. So I have a picture. Oh, there it is. I think I took a picture with myself with it. So.
Oh.
Anyway.
I gotta find it. But that's so cool.
That might be at the very end. So what else?
Okay. And this is.
This is Houdini Estate still. Don't ask me how I found these strange rocks.
No, that's cool.
Yeah. More Houdini Estate. So they've done a little bit.
Wow, I didn't know it was that vast in the back.
Yeah, it's huge. It's a huge place, and it's kind of it's sprawling, and there's kind of one big house and then a couple different houses. So,
oh,
but yeah. So anyway, yeah, there's the leprechaun statue.
There it is.
You can visit it in real life.
It's just in a different spot now?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, cool. And that was a real prop from the movie?
I don't know if it was there. It might have been there already, and the movie just used it. But
yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, that's exciting though. But that's a good entry.
Leprechaun 2 fans.
Leprechaun 2. I wonder what the if it's just Leprechaun 2 or if there's a tag or a subtitle in there.
If I didn't put a subtititle, there's probably not. So.
There's not. No.
And I think eventually 3 is when is it in Vegas? I think that's when they start.
In Vegas.
In Vegas, in space and in the hood.
Which we've covered Leprechaun 3 Vegas. Yes. We did that before, but I just want to share one more time. The Lucky Shamrock Casino, because all Vegas casinos have cloth. I mean, I know why we did it. It's the ambassador.
Yeah.
If you and I made a short film, that's exactly what it looked like.
Yeah.
But it's just it's always funny to me. But yeah. But that's a good. That's a great page.
Yeah. I thought I did for not even being a fan. You know.
That's what I mean. It's very thorough.
Thank you.
Good work. But that'll be our show tonight, unless you had anything else, Robert.
No, I'm good.
Well, thank you for coming on, sir, for your patience.
No problem. It has to be a better new year.
It has to be a better new year.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the podcast, Set Jetter Saturdays, and we will see you on the set.